Donnie, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Then upon your profession of faith in Him and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Scripture comes from Exodus chapter 33, verses 14, 18 through 23. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen."
Someday we will pray.
Joy!
Well, we know that voice by now, don't we? It's the voice of God calling Moses. And I'm not sure it was exactly that way, but certainly it was an audible voice. It was an unmistakable experience that Moses had of God's call. So we've been looking at Moses and what he can teach us about answering God's call, his unmistakable call. I believe it's an unmistakable call in each of our lives if we will just listen to his voice as Moses did. And I know Moses had some faults, as we all do, but God still used him. Used him in a great way. And we think, well, you know, I can never be like Moses. How do you know? How do you know you can't even be greater than Moses? Jesus said that that John the Baptist was the greatest man who ever lived. And yet he said, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is going to be greater than he. So how do you know that you're not going to be even greater than Moses? But we need to listen, don't we, to God's call and answer his call. But there came a time in Moses' life when he got a little discouraged. He maybe listened too much to the complaining around him, and there were a lot of things going on in the nation of Israel. And if you've read the book of Exodus, or I suppose even seen the movie, I wouldn't recommend seeing the movie without reading the book. The book is far better. But you'll remember that there was some grumbling and complaining of the Israelites, and there were times that they wanted to get rid of Moses, as great as he was, as godly as he was, as meek as he was. So what can we learn from Moses and his kind of a crossroads experience, if you will, here recorded in Exodus chapter 33, and we're looking at verses 14 in particular and verses 18 through 23, but you're welcome to let your eyes roam through the chapter and let God speak to you as you read his word. Well, we're about to elect some new leaders for the coming church year. I want us, each of us, to think that we are very much in the place of Moses. Henry Kissinger, one of our great secretaries of state, I think he was a great leader, and he said the task of a leader is to get his people from where they are to where they have not been. And I think that's an excellent definition of a leader. And that certainly applies to the home. That certainly applies to every area of our Christian lives. We have that leadership influence if we will use it. But I want us to look at Moses here in this kind of a crossroads, if you will, in his life, where I think he could have gone either way. He could have become discouraged and maybe even dropped out. I don't know whether you could drop out in the desert there. I don't know where you'd drop out to. But I suppose there were times that he probably thought, I wish I were somewhere else. He learned that those who answer God's call will have his supply for their needs and for everything that they need to be to answer his call and to fulfill his call. There are three resources, though, that we must have and that we must apply in our lives if we are going to have that experience that Moses had to continue on and to be the even greater leader for God's people that God wanted him to be. And the first of these resources is that there was a rest promised. Now, you'll remember that if you'll remember verse 14 there, where a great promise in the Bible. I would encourage you to memorize it. It says there, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, did not Jesus promise rest to those who come to him? He did. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I think he said that not just for the benefit of those who had never come to him, but for the benefit of his disciples, which are really, we are their modern-day counterparts, aren't we? So he said it for our benefit. Last time I shared Signs of Burnout by Henry Niels, and topping the list was chronic fatigue, exhaustion, tiredness, his sense of being physically run down. Now, I don't know how Moses could not have had fatigue. With all of the burdens that he had, the burdens of leadership, you know, we think, well, I mean, I would be so tired, I would just be dead. That would just take everything out of me. But what about your responsibilities? The Bible does say, does it not, that we are not to be weary in well-doing, and that God has promised us strength for our task. Well, he did here. There was a rest promised. And that rest was, first of all, in a person. His person was God. God said, my presence shall go with thee. And there is rest found nowhere else. Now, you can try to find rest. You can take, Ambien and some of these other sleep remedies. Lunesta, I think, is another one. I know them because I watch the news. For some reason, news people are insomniacs, probably for good reason. You'll never find rest until you rest in God. There's a very wise man who said that, in fact. I believe it was Augustine. He said, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Well, God said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So let us learn from these words, and the words later spoken of by Jesus. You know, Jesus knew all about this. In fact, he, I believe, was the inspirer of this word, this book. And he said later, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So there's a person of rest. There's a presence of rest. God is our refuge and strength, the Scripture tells us, a very present help in trouble. And Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And so he has promised that his presence would go with us. Think about that. Think about that as it relates to your maybe feelings of exhaustion, or your feeling that you just feel restless, you just feel tired all the time. Maybe they used to say take Geritol. I used to suggest that until someone pointed out that it's about half alcohol. No wonder those Geritol people are full of energy. I don't even know whether they sell Geritol anymore, but you're never going to find rest until you find it in the Lord. So I would encourage you to come to Him and just wait upon Him. Like Jesus said, take His yoke upon you. His yoke means there's something to do. A yoke, I think, is what they use to tie animals together so they can pull a load. And we are yoked together with Him. There's labor, but there's rest in our labor because we have His presence. And then there's progress in that rest. God says here, my presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee. Now think about that. He wants us to go, doesn't He? He doesn't want us just to hunker down and stay in one spot. And our favorite hymn is, I shall not be moved. Kind of like, well, I've gotten this far, but I'm just going to have to hold the fort from here on out. No, we go forward with Him. We progress. One of the great sins of the Israelites was that they didn't progress. They didn't claim the promises of God by faith. They didn't go up and possess the land as God had really commanded them to do. And so they wandered around in the desert. No real progress. But God wants us to progress because He said to Moses, my presence shall go with you. Not only is there a rest promised here, but there is a revelation proved. If you'll look again at verses 18 and following, Moses said, now show me your glory. I suppose if we were listening in on that conversation, we probably would have been tempted to say to Moses, well, after all, you've been up on the mountain. You've seen God. You spoke to Him face to face. And nobody has ever done that. And you've already led this nation out of Egypt. You saw the parting of the sea. In fact, you held the staff that God used to be the emblem of His power in parting that Red Sea and leading the Israelites through as on dry ground. Well, I think what Moses was saying, don't you, is that I need a fresh revelation of your presence, of your being in my life. If you're like most Christians, you can't, in fact, I would say no Christian, can live on the glories of the past. I think it's wonderful to go back to the time you trusted Jesus as your Savior. And this was great, wasn't it, Donnie's baptism? A great experience for you, I know, and your mom there. And it was a great blessing to us to have you follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It mustn't stop there. We have more of the glory of God to see. Now, Jesus, at one point in His training of the disciples, took Peter and James and John up on the mountain. You may remember, and I don't know even what mountain it was. I don't think we're told. The Mount of Transfiguration is all I know. But He took them up there, and He revealed His glory to them as the Son of God. And they even heard the voice come from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. So they had an experience of the glory of Christ. There was a granting of that revelation. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you know not. God wants to answer our prayer. He wants to show us His glory. I think this is a prayer that we can pray, don't you? Show me thy glory. Show me your glory, Lord. I need more of you. I need a fresh experience of your greatness, of your power, of your love, of all that you are, of glory. That revelation, not only was there a granting of that revelation, but there was glory to that revelation. John writes, we beheld His glory, speaking of Jesus, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. And there was one disciple who came to Jesus, and I don't even think they're named in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said to them, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And then Jesus said, "Come and you will see." That's a great promise. Come and you will see. Do you want more of him? The Bible says, "Draw nigh to me." God says that. "And I will draw nigh to you." And if you feel like you've come to this crossroads in your life and you feel like you're just all exhausted, you know, like the car out of gas, so to speak, but you feel like you just can't go on, then pray what Moses prayed here. "Show me thy glory." And he'll do it. If it's a sincere prayer, I believe that's a prayer that God is bound to answer. Now, not every day. I mean, not every day can we have an experience like Moses had here or even the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. But there are kind of pivotal times in a Christian's life when we need, a fresh filling of the Spirit. We need a fresh experience of God's greatness and His glory. And so pray that prayer, and I would challenge you to do so. And I believe God's going to answer that prayer. Maybe He'll answer it in ways you never even realized. I know sometimes we pray prayers thinking, well, you know, what bad thing is God going to do to, you know, I prayed to increase my faith, and He's knocked the props out from under me. And I've had trial after trial since I prayed that prayer. I'll never pray that prayer again. But I believe this is a prayer that God will answer. And like Moses, you'll be filled anew with His Spirit. And you cannot also and pray that prayer without reading the Word. This was a revelation of God. Now, Moses didn't have the privilege that we have today of having the complete Word of God. In fact, tradition is that Moses was the one who began to write the Scriptures down. So he didn't have some of the privileges that we had. We would think, well, you know, we haven't heard God's voice speaking to us like Moses did. But think of it. We have the complete revelation of God. I would challenge you to read this book and read it with a prayer. "Lord, show me your glory." And I believe He will. In fact, I'm confident. I'm positive even that He will do that. There was goodness in that revelation. God said here, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim the Lord, then my name, the Lord, in your presence." And I did a little study on that word goodness there, and it's just the simple Hebrew word tob, which means good. And it's the same word that the book of Genesis chapter 1 says when chapters 1 and 2 where it says that God created the heavens and the earth, and it goes on and describes each day, and it says it was good. It is good. It was good. When God does something, it's good, isn't it? And sometimes we allow the devil and others to slander God to us. Even sometimes our thoughts. You know, God isn't very good to me. He wouldn't allow these things to happen, these trials. He would take better care of me if God were really good. So we need a fresh revelation, don't we, of God's goodness. We need to dwell upon His goodness. I think count our blessings, like the old gospel song says. Name them one by one. It will surprise us what God has done. So He is a good God. There's a revelation proved, but first of all, a rest promised, a revelation proved, but also a refuge provided. David said in Psalm 32:7, "Thou art my hiding place," speaking to God, of course. "Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance," Selah. And Isaiah spoke in chapter 32, verse 2, of a man who shall be as a hiding place. And I believe that because it says a man there, it's speaking of Jesus, don't you? A man who shall be a hiding place. Who else could that be? A hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We all need that hiding place, don't we? That getaway. And Jesus said, "The weary enter into our closet." It doesn't have to be, up on the mountaintop somewhere. But it can be just a place where you meet with God one-on-one. There's a place of refuge. And God says here to Moses, that place, He said, is near me. Isn't that wonderful? That place is near me. I remember when I was just a small child. I don't remember much. That was so long ago. But I do remember how when I needed protection, I knew where to find it. I'd go to the mom or dad, usually mom. She was usually there. But I knew that where I could find protection and security in a place where I was loved and cared for. Now, not everybody has that experience. I realize that. There's some one of the most tragic things in life is a child that is not wanted and rejected. But even more so, can we take confidence and comfort in the fact that God will receive us? David said, "My mother and father may forget me and may forsake me, but you will not forsake me." Well, Moses was about to learn more about that refuge, wasn't he? God says there's a place near me. And there's protection there in that refuge. God said, I will place you in the cleft of the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you there, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will renew my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. God wants to protect us. Now, not protect us from everything. A wise parent knows that that's not a good thing, to try to protect your children from everything. I think it's good to let your children eat dirt occasionally. I know we like to rush out there and, you know, they're making mud pies and they're probably going to eat it. But we kind of need that exposure, don't we? That's kind of the, you know, sometimes we need to learn that way. So, but God has promised to watch over us and take care of us. And that cleft of the rock, I want to share with you about the prophecy. God says here, I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And in Isaiah 54 and verse 8, God says, in a little wrath. I think this explains what God was saying here to Moses. In Isaiah 54, verse 8, it says, God says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And I believe there that God the Father is speaking to His Son, because that's what happened on the cross. God hid His face from Jesus on the cross, because the Bible says that God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now, do you not think that the God the Father who did that for you and me would not be watching over us, would not be caring for us, would not be providing that refuge that we need day by day in His presence? Again, we need to take the time to read the Word. The Bible says, God says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. And we need to take the time to go into our prayer closet and pray to the Lord and meet with Him one-on-one. It was in March of 1862 during the Civil War that 28-year-old Joseph Gilmore, son of a New Hampshire governor, was supply preaching at the First Methodist Church of Philadelphia. And because of the dark depression of the war between the states, Reverend Gilmore selected as his sermon theme the 23rd Psalm, emphasizing God's leadership during those dark days. Over and over again, he repeated the phrase, He leadeth me. And later at home, at the home of one of his deacons, Gilmore, of the deacons of the church, Gilmore was so filled with the thought of his theme that he was unable to contain himself. On a piece of paper, he jotted down these lines, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. The third stanza of that hymn may have been especially appropriate to Moses and his modern-day counterparts. And that third stanza says, Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me.